This warmer weather finally is great. All that rain yesterday, though. We had a beautiful, very warm sunrise service this morning. The warmest it's been since I've been here. One year we were kind of trying to get ice off the top of the communion cups. It was so cold. So it was good. A little bit of sprinkles, but good. This time of year brings new growth. Beautiful images. You know, buds bursting forth through the soil. And the forsythia bushes aflame with yellow. I think that's the name of it. You know the bushes I'm talking about anyway. Grass greening, bare trees painting the hills and the forest with the ruby red buds. Many of those on the ground today after all the rain. But amazing. Animal life multiplying, the baby birds chirping and singing. Did you hear them this morning? It was more pre-dawn, because I was amazed that even at Morton's Pond, I didn't hear as many, but they were there off in the distance. But driving down the hill, I had, 5:30, get my coffee and then get to Morton's Pond. The birds were just, you know, announcing the dawn before the dawn, the life and the music, you know, the baby animals. How could we not believe in God, our Creator, with all this new life? How could anybody not believe? God is a God of life. But Jesus rising from the dead is another matter, though, isn't it? Maybe not for you. Maybe it is for you. But for the world. Why do some believe and many do not? Why is there doubt? Why is there uncertainty? How can it not be so clear? Well, maybe because what is dead usually stays dead. And that's how the story begins in Luke 24. That's a different ending, but that's how it begins. Jesus is dead. The women believe it. They're going to the tomb to bring the spices, to treat the corpse, to take proper care of the one they love. The Jewish people of that day, they knew tombs, and the word tomb means a sign of remembrance. A way of keeping those we love in a certain place and time and space to remember them. And they also are sites of remembering. Yeah, they evoke stories, the memories of the one and that we love and our memories with them. Just to keep them alive a little bit. And that is what we do when a loved one passes. There's great care taken of our loved one. There's a memorial service generally. You know, they're sharing about their life. Sharing about your life. There are tears and there are, you know, maybe there's joyful laughter too. We miss them. And there's some, a burial place, you know, a monument, a stone. For some, it's the pouring out of ashes at a certain place and we may return there one day. This is what we do too. But as the women approach the tomb in Luke 24, they are focused on bringing to completion the burial of Jesus' body. It's closure. You know, we all need closure. We know what that means. But as they approach, they find the stone is not covering the entrance. It's rolled back. When they enter the tomb, they do not find the body of Jesus. The reality the women expect is not the reality they encounter. The oddness is verbalized in Luke. He says that they were perplexed. Not dismayed or not angry, just perplexed. It means at a loss to make sense of the disconnect between their expectation and what they find. Let me indulge you with a little story yesterday. We had a family gathering. Elsie's going to be two. Center aisle, granddaughter. She's going to be two on Wednesday. And Lisa had a birthday last Thursday. You can do the math. 37, is that right? Yeah, okay. But we said, we're going to cater it. So I went to the caterer, and I, you know, thought, okay, you know, I'm trying to plan ahead, pick it up at 12:30. We're eating at 1, so, okay, I don't need, Auric even said, hey, do you want me to go with you? No, I'm good, I can get it. You know, they'll help me get the boxes in the car. They're like 5 items, you know, all this food. And so I get there, and the lady comes out of the back with a little box. I said, okay. You know, everything was listed on the receipt, and she even brought the box up to the cash register. I paid. I get in the car. I'm driving home, and I think, oh, no. Was this box one of three or four or five? And I called Maya, no pickup. I called Ulrich, half kidding, half desperate. Order pizzas quick. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I thought, oh no. Got home, and all this food was in this little box. There was a disconnect. What I saw, like, how could they get all that food in that little box? They did. And it was like the fishes and the loaves. The fish was all gone, but everything else multiplied. You know? After we ate, the fish was gone. So, but, you know, I was perplexed. And I think we know how that goes. And this is how it was at the grave. That what they see, you know, what they expected to encounter, they don't encounter. But then, secondly, they receive a word. It is counter to what they know to be true. The two angels said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen." The women encounter the resurrection for this first time through the message, through the word. They didn't see him. What they have is the word, the message of resurrection. You know, we think maybe God would work differently. You know, it'd seem easier to have Jesus just walk out right at that point. You know, and meet them, or to show up in all his dazzling glory today. Many generations later. So this is precisely where our situation is like that of the women on the day of resurrection. We all are given a message, a word. He is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. And that word may fly in the face of what we know to be true. For some, it's hard to believe. But the angels, they said something else to the women. Remember what he said to you. You know, they're not there yet. They're not sure. Remember what he said to you, how he spoke to you, that in Galilee the Son of Man must be delivered up after and be crucified, and after 3 days rise again. Ah. They remembered his words. You know, we need to be taught the Word of God to know what it says about Jesus. Who died, but he's alive. And so we know that the angels tell them to go tell. Tell the others. Go tell them. But for most, the only logical response to such a message is unbelief. What? You know, it's unbelief. Experience teaches that death wins. But the message of the resurrection tells us that Jesus lives. You know, contradictory claims, when they collide, it only makes sense to continue affirming what we believe. You know, something else. And that's what Luke reports in verses 8 through 11. The women bring the message of resurrection to the others. They respond as thinking people often do. They thought that this message was an idle tale. They did not believe them. Can't be true. But unbelief does not mean people do not believe in something, that they believe nothing, right? Rather, it means they believe something else. People say, "I don't believe." They believe something else. Yet here is where the message begins its work, by challenging our beliefs. Experience teaches that death wins, that everyone, even the strong, succumb to it. Experience teaches that life is what you make of it. So get what you can while you can before it's all over. But the message of resurrection says, really? How can you be so sure? Are you sure about that? And how about for us? God displays his resurrection power every spring. And even in the latter growth, even throughout summer, there's just images of resurrection power. What was dormant, dead really, comes back to life grass and trees and flower bulbs in the ground and even animal life and in hibernation. They come back to life. They have been dead for a season. Late fall through winter. Now is a time of bursting forth from the grave. Do you see it all around you? I think on the way up to Morton's Pond this morning for the 6:30 service, I saw a little dagwood? No. Dagwood. That was a comic, right? It was an early morning. Little flowers. And I told the sunrise service that I saw my first leaves. You know, there's been buds everywhere, and I don't think there's any leaves on our trees. But I thought, wow, there's leaves on that tree. Some are faster than others. Do we see it all around us? It's powerful. Life happened. God's power. A type of resurrection, if you will. Spring, there is resurrection everywhere. How can we not believe in our Creator God who brings to life such beautiful things? Yeah, some of the bushes don't come back to life. I have like a few dead ones, but you know my point. He brings back to life. So the message of resurrection calls those who doubt, not sure if they believe, you know, from your old belief in death to a new belief in life. It challenges that. Do you feel challenged this morning? The claim that the tomb could not hold Jesus, and the idea that the one who died by crucifixion has now risen is so outrageous that, you know what, maybe it might be true. Would you consider that it would be true? Many of us here, we know it's true. We can vouch for it. But what about you? Maybe it's true. The disciples seem convinced that the message was nonsense, an idle tale, death was death. Yet the message was so outrageous, Peter had to go. He's significant here. All throughout the early church and everything, he is significant. He's the leader. He goes, he runs, he stoops, he sees. He wonders. He marvels. What if it's true? As God continues to challenge maybe your uncertainty about this new life. But we all know the certainty of death. But what about that promise of life? What about the promise of hope and eternal life? You know, those who've gone before us, we have that. The hope of the resurrection. Life forever because of Jesus. Maybe you believe that death gets the final word. You can tell that to God. But it's nothing new to God. He's heard it all before. All of our doubts and pushbacks and questions. He's big enough. He says, well, why do you seek the living among the dead? God wonders. Through the living Jesus, I give you the gift of life. Why would you think that I would offer you anything less than that? All this talk of new life can make many people uncomfortable. Talk to unbelieving friends or people that are searching and seeking, and they'll look at you like, wow, you have a screw loose or something. It's like all the spring growth and the lilies up here that, you know, the pollen's starting to make the choir real uncomfortable. Me too. I mean, you just like, it's just so full, and now my head feels like it's getting filled with all the dander, the pollen. But there's help for allergies. There's help for that. The truth of the resurrection can make us uncomfortable. You know, what are we doing with it? Do we believe? You know, a couple times a year we believe, or what are we doing about it today? If he lives, then you and I can face tomorrow. We can forgive. We can extend that. You know, what God has given us, we can extend that out. You know, there's a whole number of things because he lives. You know, maybe you're following in the footsteps of Peter. You've heard the rumor that Jesus is alive. You've come again to hear the message. What if it's true? What if death is real but not final? What if Jesus is not merely past but present? What if Jesus were to meet me here? Would he meet me here today? Would he love me? Would he tell me that I'm forgiven no matter what? Could I forgive myself? Can I ever be free of guilt and shame? Is that the kind of life that he brings? All I've known is guilt and shame in my life. Would Jesus love me and welcome me? Is there hope for a change, for a second chance? I hope so. I want it all to be true. Or maybe you know someone who has experienced new life in Christ. You're still watching them. Yeah, you say you're new, but I know who you really are. No, but you see that they've changed. The old habits and behaviors, they have changed. Something has changed for them. Not perfection, but they seem to be learning and growing. And they're being helped along a new path. You know, there's a lot more light than darkness for them. Maybe if you see that in someone, God is speaking to you. We all can be changed and transformed. You've seen it in them. It's true for them. Jesus is alive. No longer doubt. Believe. What is it? Well, it's forgiveness. It's the love of God outpoured. It's the reality of the Holy Spirit. A freer and fuller life. I want more of that. I believe and I want more of that. I don't know about you. I want more of that. More light than darkness. A life where there is meaning and purpose and direction and healing. Deliverance, such peace. That hope of eternal life. Some in our church family or extended church family have lost loved ones recently. Or you may have lost a loved one even a long time ago. That hope of eternal life. One day we'll be together again. You know, because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. I love that song. With God, though, it's always about love. It's always about His love. His mercy, His gift of grace, His patience with us. Maybe we've been challenged a little bit. We believed, but, man, this is increasing my faith today, or we've never believed. If we do believe, what are we going to do with that good news? Thank you, Linda, for the message with the kids. What can we do about it? It's all about God's love. It's like preparing to receive a newborn baby. You know, new life, a miracle. Expecting that. That's what God does. He does miracles. It is possible for everyone to have a new life because Jesus overcame death. He is alive. And you can be alive in Him too, and I can also. So believe. Believe today. Amen.